Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Once more, people of God in St. Bede's, good morning. A good mystery. A good mystery from a biblical perspective points to something that once was hidden or secret and now has been revealed through means impossible by human discovery. Thus, a mystery is not an elusive or imponderable thing, difficult or impossible to explain. Rather, a mystery in the biblical sense is something which was previously unknown and previously unrevealed, but now God has removed that shroud. And once it is known, it may be understood and proclaimed. As we discussed last week, it was in these 40 days between Easter and the Ascension in which our Lord instructed the disciples and guided them more richly into the truth that now broke through with his life, death, and resurrection. And again, we are not to suppose that the disciples knew nothing about the Old Testament and that the Bible is a book which no ordinary person can expect to comprehend. We are simply to understand that Jesus showed his disciples the full meaning of many passages which had been hidden from their eyes. Our passage from the Gospel of John today offers another such opportunity. Proceeding from the revelation of our Lord gave as his assertion to the role of the Good Shepherd, Jesus had just healed a man who was born blind. He engages with the Pharisees who challenge his authority and the validity of the miracle. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with them heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." Jesus is challenging the intent of the religious leaders of the day and says, "Well, you profess to see that I am here among you. I have performed this miracle and others in the authority of God. And then you deny me as the Christ. You deny the offer for true forgiveness of sins. You must really be blind. And how can the blind lead the blind? How can you so-called leaders of God's people, who are tasked to lead and represent God's people before him, lead by your own pride, which is only concerned with your own status, comfort, or wealth?" And this certainly gives any religious leader or minister pause to reflect on their motives. But a minister must not be the one who makes a stay or go to a particular church. Something even bigger must catch us, connect with us, and make us want to go deeper. So, for you, you who are called to go therefore and make disciples, not converts to a particular denomination and just expect them to come to church, but disciples who will hear and then follow the shepherd's call. For you, what concern does this warning from Christ bring you? Are you among the blind leading the blind? For we must not confuse proximity to God and work for God with love for God. To be unable to see any difference between law and gospel, truth and error, the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of man, these are sure proof that we are yet dead in heart and still need conversion. Christ did not come to be only a teacher of a new morality or an example of holiness and self-denial or a founder of new ceremonies. He left heaven and dwelt for over 30 years on earth for far higher ends than these. He came to procure eternal life for man. By his own victorious and vicarious death, he came to be a mighty fountain of spiritual life for all mankind, to which sinners coming by faith might drink, and by drinking might live forevermore. As John said, by Moses came laws, rules, ordinances, ceremonies, but by Christ came grace, truth, and eternal life. We declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. That is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Those before us and the incarnation of Christ saw an outline only. It was the coming of Christ which made all things plain and caused the shadows to pass away. Life and immortality were brought into full light by the gospel. In short, to use our Lord's own words, even those who had life now had it more abundantly when Christ came unto the world. Now, we could spend some time unpacking the announcement of Christ as the Good Shepherd by looking at ourselves as being compared to sheep, but this would certainly not be flattering. But notice that the words that the Good Shepherd uses to describe those in his flock. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. To our Lord, a flock is the shepherd's treasure. It is his living wealth, but it is also his care. It is his constant desire to watch over. A true church, therefore, is a very precious thing. It is not a mere human society banded together for certain practices, but it is a community which God himself has formed and over which he watches with an unsleeping eye. God wants us to change the conversation from what's wrong with everyone else to what's wrong with us. He wants to lead us to a place of repentance and dependence on his mercy. A hard heart never admits anything. But when the people of God melt and confess their sins, that's when the presence of Jesus is felt among us. It's our repentance, not our perfection, that makes the beauty of Christ shine through our lives, our families, and our worship. God's people, his flock, are not only peculiar in their position, but they are peculiar in their feeding. You may know a child of God by that which her soul lives upon. God's people know their Lord, and they know the kind of food which he gives them. They know the truth from a lie. They will have nothing but clean food that leads to eternal life. And Jesus, the bread of life, for more evidently it comes from the great shepherd's own hand, the better it is for them. And like a good shepherd, Christ knows all his believing people, their names, their circumstances, their private history, their experience, their trials. With all of these things, Jesus is perfectly acquainted. There is not a thing about the least and the lowest of them which he is not familiar. The Good Shepherd knows them thoroughly. And wonderful to say, though he knows them, though he knows me and all my misgivings and my sin, Jesus still does not despise me, nor does he overlook or despise you. Like a good shepherd, Christ cares tenderly for all his believing people. Jesus says he is the good shepherd, the one who's come to lay his life down for his sheep. It's not the first qualification you'd look for in a shepherd, to be quite honest. In fact, it seems foolish to the whole idea of protecting someone or something. Perhaps patience or gentleness or maybe a good understanding of caring for animals would be more important or more appropriate. And it's true that the shepherds in Israel needed to face down predators like lions, as David once reported. But the aim was to fight them off, not for the shepherd to actually lay down their life. In fact, if they did that, it would seem to be a disaster for the sheep. There'd be no more shepherd to look after them. But Jesus says that he lays down his life for the sheep. And brothers and sisters, that is the only way that the sheep can be brought into his fold. And notice how we're brought into one fold. There's only one flock. The sheep are saved forevermore because the good shepherd died for them. And this indeed is a love that passes all knowledge. But it is that knowledge that the prophet Ezekiel, speaking of that outline that would soon be filled in by Christ, long ago included in an announcement of a promise that God will himself search for his sheep, seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. God's flock will eat and drink from that which the irresponsible shepherds have trampled on and fouled with their words and deeds. He will establish one shepherd over them, one good shepherd that will feed them. And my sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. The good shepherd fulfills the promise of God to David, given by the prophet Samuel, of the everlasting king whose throne will be established forever. But Jesus wants us to know that he is not just our king ruling over us. He is not just our redeemer paying the ransom for us. He's not just another mediator making peace for us. He's our shepherd, taking care of us, calling out to us, feeding us, caring for our wounds and protecting us from falling and from predators. In Ezekiel's day, that divide had not yet been completely bridged by the Messiah, Jesus Christ, one who would be both God and man, shepherd and king, and in all a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave his life to serve God the Father and save what was lost, us, the sheep. And in doing so, he identified himself with us. And as John proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb of God was not prone to wander or go astray as we like sheep tend to do. And while sheep tend to occupy a lowly pasture, the Lamb of God is elevated to a throne. For behold, in the midst of the heavenly throne stood a lamb as though it had been slain, who redeemed us to God by his blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So this morning I want to ask you, do you know the shepherd? Have you heard him call in his word by the Holy Spirit? Now this is more than just knowing our Bibles. It's more than just knowing a few good Sunday school stories or being able to remember a few words of Jesus. For in the second chapter of John 10 that we read, the Jews, the religious leaders, came to Jesus and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah?" And what has Jesus said to them? He effectively says, I've already told you. They'd heard Jesus' teaching. They'd heard him say that he was the bread of life, the water of life, the light of life. They had heard this all, but yet hadn't believed. Not only had they heard Jesus' words, but they'd also seen the signs that he'd done. And if it's true that actions speak louder than words, then these signs were a giant shout out to God's kingdom, to Jesus' glory. He performed these so that we might hear and know that he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. That is, they were so that we will know that Jesus is equal with the Father, that he is united with the Father in purpose and will. That we would know that Jesus is God's Son. But if we were to know Jesus the way the sheep knew their shepherd, we've got to go farther than this. We get an idea of the depth of relationship we're supposed to have with him when he says, I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. It's more than an intellectual knowledge. It's a deep, an intimate relationship. It's not just about hearing words. It's receiving, accepting, and obeying his word. It's about responding to his voice. It would be no good if the sheep in the pen heard their master's voice, but then just stood there instead of running to him. True life is life connected with God. It's life in right relationship with God and then with each other. It's the richness of life in relationship with God here and now and eternally with him in heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And some days, those pastures don't seem so green. We're surrounded by opportunities, challenges, difficulties, and decisions, but we're also surrounded by God's grace. Even more, he wants us to live that life to the fullest. We all know that we're not perfect people, but we can still have that abundant life because he gave up his life for us on the cross. Like a good shepherd, we can have that. We have forgiveness in eternity. We are not alone because he is with us, and he will be with us for all eternity. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Who else do you give such honor? What other voice in culture, politics, media, or maybe even in your own homes or workplaces, do you allow to speak above and drown out the call of the Good Shepherd? Would you be so confident asking Jesus, am I blind also? There's a story of a famous actor who was giving an after-dinner speaker at a large function. And when he stood up to speak, he invited his audience to choose a poem for him to recite. There was a long silence until a retired pastor raised his hand and asked for the 23rd Psalm. The actor was slightly taken aback, but agreed to do so, provided that the pastor would then recite it after him. So the actor got up, recited Psalm 23, and received a standing ovation. And then the elderly pastor stood up and recited the psalm. And when he was finished, there was not a dry eye in the house. The actor came over to the clergyman and announced to all the people there, the difference between his version and my version is this. I know the 23rd Psalm, but he knows the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It is His goodness that moves Him to say in Scripture, "It is my delight to be with the children of men." It is His goodness that moves Him to call us unto Him, to offer us His friendship and presence. It is His goodness that patiently suffers our straying from Him and suffers us long to win us to repentance and eternal life. Let us pray. Be Thou Thyself, O Lord, we beseech Thee, the Shepherd of Thy people, that we who are strengthened by Thy risen presence may in our daily life walk with Thee and in humble trust seek to follow Thee as Thou callest us by name and dost lead us out for Thy glory's sake. Amen.